Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You want some? Back on The Usual Suspects. Not a minute too soon as we start hour number 2 of The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. Still dealing with the after effects of the fantastic food from Chick-fil-A, thanks to our girl Jennifer, 610 Shepherd location. As we were talking baseball, and before we get any further on any other topics, because we do want to get into some Rockets, and Nick was there last night for the big game against the Clippers.
I watched.
Well, it was a good game.
Yeah,
it was a lot to talk about.
Picked the perfect game to watch for first game of the season.
So before we get to that, let's get to this. Sean called in, wants to talk Astros. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thank you. Sometimes you're the best part of the day.
Hey, appreciate that, Sean. Thank you, bud.
Thank you. Question. Everybody's probably going to say, hey, to some degree, some of this is true, accurate, whatever. But would you put it past that maybe they tried some of this in the minor league system to inflate some of the prospects so that way they get higher trade value? Is that a possibility? And I'll hang up and listen.
I anticipate he's talking about the signal, the stealing of the signs and doing that stuff, and if they used it in the minor leagues to help the statistics of their prospects.
I don't know that they would run any risks at that level. I don't think there's anything to be gained from it. You get a false sense of production. If you were, let's assume that they were cheating in the minors. All of your prospects are going to have inflated numbers.
Well, that's what he said. But I think that's what they want. I think he's implying that you do that so that they have a higher trade value.
No. Then the risk becomes, how come you haven't brought XYZ up yet? Look at his numbers. How come you haven't brought him up yet? When you know, well, he's garbage, but we've been cheating, so it's helped his numbers. That would be a concern. I don't think they're going to do that. Why put that efforts into something that doesn't matter anyways? You would put those efforts into cheating at the major league level to win a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you making that?
Because as you were saying that, I was like, you want conspiracy theorists' response to that?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because Yordan Alvarez was killing it in the minor leagues, and he was killing it in the regular season, and then all of a sudden, he had these big inflated numbers.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm just saying that there are going to be people that say, well, Yordan Alvarez wouldn't have had those numbers if they wouldn't have been cheating.
Oh. Well, I don't think they were cheating in the minors.
Well, and again, I agree with you. I'm saying conspiracy theorists would probably bring that kind of thing up. And of course,
I can see that.
You know, Dodger fans and Yankee fans, they're all knee deep in this, wanting to chastise the Astros. And fine. But overall, I think that, look, someone made the point that several people have said it too. You got to hit, even if you know what's coming, you still got to be able to hit it.
Yeah.
And hit it, you know, with some authority. And they proved that they were able to do that.
That John Boy video where JOMBOY, not John. Good night, John Boy. Not mm-hmm. that. John Boy. There was, you know, and where he was, it was Evan Gaddis, the plate. And they were like, you hear the bang, bang. And then the pitch, it was a breaking ball. They went three up, three down in that inning. So again, I'm just, you know, to your point. Yeah, you might cheat, but that doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And it's still difficult to hit a breaking ball. Even if you know it's coming, it's still, do you realize that this is what is crazy? It's a round bat.
Mm-hmm.
hitting a round ball. You realize that the point of contact is so minuscule, all things considered. That's what makes it so difficult to do to begin with.
It's such a hard process that if you hit 3 times out of 10, you could be an all-star.
Yeah.
That's how difficult it is. So with that being said, you're right. I mean, you still got to hit the ball. Look, I mean, for everybody that was going back that are Yankees fans and they're talking about Altuve's walk-off and everything else, guess what? He didn't – even if he knew Chapman, and I don't think he did, that Chapman was going to throw a broke-ass slider instead of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
He said he was looking for a fastball.
Yeah, and you still got to do something with it?
Yep.
He deposited it in the Crawford boxes, and there you go. So you're going to hear all this. You just might as well condition yourself for it now because it's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and save your – we got a little text yesterday where someone was like, oh, I can't stand baseball talk. Bro, this is a big story. We're sorry. The rest of us are interested in it, but the one person that doesn't want to talk baseball anymore, this scandal is a big deal.
It is.
And it's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's national. And it was the front page headline on ESPN for the last 2 days. So there you have that. And then from that, we're going to obviously move on. But before we get to that, LSU Brian wants to finish up with Astros rotation question. What's up, Brian?
What's going on, fella?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. So y'all were talking about the Astros rotation, kind of what it'll look like next year. I think Garrett, I think he's gone. But there's someone that y'all failed to mention is Aaron Sanchez. I mean, we got him for a few more. And I mean, he was a Cy Young a couple years ago, and we say, you know, you bring almost anybody in, and Brad Strom could fix him. I mean, that's still a possibility. That shoot, he could be your three, you know. So I just want to hang up and, you know, see what y'all think about him.
Appreciate the call, Brian. Look, yeah, there's going to be a handful of guys that are going to be in the mix to have an opportunity. It's going to be Framber Valdez. It's going to be Josh James. If Brad Peacock can stay healthy, he's done it before. Why wouldn't you throw him in the mix? So he's going to be a part of it. Sanchez is another guy. But it's not so much about Brent Strom and those guys. But sure, you know, a full offseason working with the Astros development guys and Brent Strom is going to help. But more so than anything else, for him to get right, medically, that arm, that shoulder, it has to be ready to go, bouncing back from the procedure that he had that ended his season. But you're right. I mean, there's a guy that's got all the stuff in the world. It's again, becoming a pitcher from a guy that just was a hard thrower.
Yeah, Aaron Sanchez was seventh in the Cy Young voting the one year that he was also an All-Star, which was 2016.
Yeah.
Since that year, he hasn't had an ERA below 4.25.
You and I looked at it when he said that. I was like, I don't recall him ever winning a Cy Young.
No, he was seventh in the voting, and he was an All-Star in 2016. Prior to that, he had he pitched in 41 games in 2015, but only 11 starts. So the year that he became a full-time starter is in 2016, he was an All-Star, and he got seventh in the voting. But since then, he's gone 4.25 ERA, 4.89 ERA, and last year he had a 5.89 ERA.
That's a relative of mine or a friend from back home. ERA.
ERA. So it's going in the wrong direction as well.
Chick-fil-A and my ERA. Oh, God. It's cold out there, too, don't you know, you betcha. Jeez.
I love that so much.
So with that being said, the Rockets played last night against them Clippers from L.A.
All right. Now, you have to do this the entire show.
I could do it if I had to, my friend, and it would not be that difficult.
Could you really do this for?
Oh, God, I tell you, it's like nothing I've ever seen before, you know? You get out there, and it's one day you're wearing shorts, it's 45, and the next time you got 3 inches of snow on the ground, and you're freezing your kachugi-loogies off.
I don't know why I think it's so funny.
I don't know why I always think of someone, like if I hear that accent, I think of someone on a boat fishing for some reason.
There's two accents that you hear, and you immediately think, they're a dumbass. It's the Midwest and Southern.
So Aaron,
when you hear somebody, hey, how's it going? You're like, you're an idiot. You have the IQ of a walnut. Like, really?
Aaron is blitzed. Went to Minnesota, crossed the border while he was up there on vacation in the last month, and went into Wisconsin. He said he saw this bartender. She was really cute, blah, blah, blah. She opened her mouth, had that accent. He goes, oh, my God, I love you even more now. I was like,
What? You don't want to hear that talk dirty to you?
I mean, my joke with my buddies back home is you could make a NASA rocket scientist sound like a custodian with that accent. It's just it's like nails on a chalkboard to me to hear that accent. But I guess
and he thought it was sexy.
I said maybe it's the same thing why people in the Midwest think a Southern accent is sexy.
Do they?
Are there people in the South that think that a Midwest accent is sexy? Because then there's something wrong with you.
apparently that's the case. I don't know that I would want some chick to be, oh yeah, daddy. Like, no, that doesn't sound.
The Boston accent is funny too, because in that movie Ted, when the bear was that is, I love that. That's got to be.
I love a Boston. The original is great.
Like the Midwest and Southern accents, people sound stupid. But
I don't think so.
Boston, they sound aggressive.
Southern doesn't necessarily sound stupid. We've
Are
had
you
this,
kidding me?
I remember us having this debate before.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You
I
also
think
said
that.
Southern accents don't necessarily sound sexy on girls.
Oh, I do.
And
remember
Joel
this
disagreed.
Yeah. I completely think
I disagreed with you too.
Now, do you think
but that
a
doesn't necessarily mean they're smart? So I guess I can kind of see.
Do you think a Midwestern accent sounds sexy? Joe, talk dirty.
I don't think
Joe, talk
so.
Dirty.
Nick, bring your ass over here. I'd like to see it a little bit closer, don't you know? You betcha.
You sound.
Huh? Would you hit that right now?
Oh,
would
God. You, would Nick. You
absolutely not.
Oh, God, do it again.
Okay.
Oh.
We got to dump this.
I don't dump it. That's the best. That's what I was waiting on. Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Stop.
It's so nice.
Stop. Don't stop. Give it to me again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
Come on, man. You can go on vacation.
Back.
No, you're going to get us all canned.
Nick, you're
going to hate this show.
You love it because he's going to be in traction tomorrow.
Oh,
you're going to be in.
Oh, God. Joel, you're at my back. You made me spin around. Oh, God.
Spin around, Nick. Do it again. Oh, goodness. And that little G-string you're wearing, look, you're so cute,
oh,
don't
okay.
you know?
All right, we got to move. We got to talk sports.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, we got to call Klein here in a minute, sir. Sir.
You want to talk about some jewels? Okay. In the Midwest, they call them the family jewels. If you get hit below the belt, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
I can totally see that. And Nick's just being like, shush, shush, shush. Lady, please shut up. Oh, my God, stop talking. It's not working. It's not working, Carol. Stop.
Nick, I don't expect you to be a rock star, but I don't need you to have stage fright because of my accent, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk Rockets after the break. The big win against the Clippers, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the family feud between the Riverses.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun last night. I feel like I maybe tuned in at the right time. Of basketball season. Now I can watch it because I had tuned in for like a quarter here and there. It just looked ugly. It was sloppy.
It was, especially in the first half. I had all these Rockets fans hitting me up.
No,
saying,
just in general, like in recent
weeks. But they were bitching in the first half about Tony Brothers and the officiating. And granted, there were some bad calls. But the bottom line is, and I told people on Twitter this, I've been telling you for years, Tony Brothers has an axe to grind with the Rockets. Yeah. Get over it. Just stop turning the ball over, taking bad shots, and playing bad basketball. You won't have to worry about those calls making a difference. Which eventually they ended up doing by scoring the points that were necessary. Harden got hot in the fourth quarter, and they did what they had to do to win the ballgame.
Yeah, I feel like going into last night's game, I had watched here and there, right? Like I would tune in for a quarter, I would tune in for a half. And it was kind of like last year. Remember last year I told you I started watching. I was like, this doesn't look like a Rockets team that's going to be very fun, mm-hmm. that I want to watch because they look discombobulated. They look out of sync. They look like they're... And they're just not, you know, there's no chemistry on this team. And obviously half the players, you didn't even know who the hell they were.
Right.
You know a lot of these players now, but up until last night, I didn't see a lot of chemistry. And I felt like last night they played better defense. They looked as cohesive more. Now, you know, you're missing some guys, but yeah. I still felt like this was a better team than I've seen so far this year.
So we'll kick that around because there's lots to get to and unfold and unpack after what happened last night, both on and around the court. With the Rockets and the Clippers. So that's something that if you want to get in on the discussion, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line, call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter.
Yeah, hey, guys, listen, the holidays are fast approaching, and it doesn't just have to be for the holidays, but right now it's pretty important that you get your spouse or your significant other something important that they're going to absolutely love and cherish. And if it's not jewelry, you're probably messing up. I'm just going to tell you right now. Give my guy, Mark Klein, at Klein's Fine Jewelry a call right now and let him help you get something that your significant other is going to absolutely love for the holidays. His number is 832-316-1388. Write that down. 832-316-1388. Put that in your cell phone, and that's Mark Klein's number. Just call him directly. He's going to answer that phone, and he's going to talk to you. He has literally the best of everything in this business, whether it's rings, pendants, bracelets, earrings, watches, whatever it is, custom jewelry, he can do that too. In fact, I had Lauren Pope, one of our listeners, she reached out to me. She said, hey, is Mark really that good? Because I've got some old jewelry that I want to get something done with, and I don't want to just take it anywhere. I was like, absolutely he is. That's why I bought my wife's 10-year anniversary ring from Mark, because he made me look like a hero. She had something very specific that she wanted. She knew exactly what she wanted it to look like, and he made that a reality. And he saved me a ton of money. He's been doing this forever. They're not this big mall store where you're going to go in there and they're just trying to upsell you on everything to make these huge profits to pay for that rent. That's not how it works at Klein's Jewelry. Do yourself a favor and call him right now. 832-316-1388 or go online at kleinsjewelry.com. That's kleinsjewelry.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects for the final segment of the first half. Looks like we're winning, because, you know, it's what we do in life.
I really want you to do that the whole show. It would piss people off so bad. Like, okay, Joel, we get it. That would be the best part. Is it would how get angry everybody would
At
get.
The break, ESPN 975er, where Nick's going to put some Nick picks up from the Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I really wanted that. That segment, I'm going to save. I'm going to get the podcast, and I'm going to just isolate just you talking dirty to Nick and just play that on a loop in my car. That was so good.
Is that a microphone in your hand, or are you just happy to see someone from the Midwest, Nick?
Is that, so like at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru up there, like when they say my pleasure, how would they say it?
Hey, how you doing?
There's no my pleasure.
Nah, we're here to serve you in more ways than one, if you know what I mean. I get off at 10.
Oh, my God.
Cold out there. You want to stay warm? I got a hobby.
Somebody's trying to get me to go to Katie Mills Mall for my back. I don't think so.
That's worse than my
Whole Foods massage. Yeah.
I've been to Katie Mills Mall for a lot of stuff, but not a massage.
No, not happening. I think we've had that discussion on air about getting a massage in the mall.
Yeah, Lisa's those mom weirdos. And I were at the mall one time, and we were sitting there like on one of those the couches waiting for Lisa and like Macy's or something like that, and we watched those guys that do that. They have their little, they either do it in the middle of the mall or they have like a little store set up, and this dude is like putting his whole body weight and his elbow and just driving into people. I was like, I don't think that's the way you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, I don't. And you're getting that done in the mall with people walking by. That's just,
that's the weird part.
It really is. Because they don't like put a screen around you or a sheet up or anything.
They did at Whole Foods.
Oh, did they?
They absolutely did.
Was that just at the end or during the whole process?
During the whole process. Okay. And you can shut your mouth.
I'm just asking a question.
We know what you're saying. That doesn't go down in the land of the sugar. That doesn't go down in Sugarland.
I don't know.
Land of the sugar.
Land of the sugar sounds like a lot goes down.
I know we got to get to sports, but this is something that I find interesting.
Okay.
Little Birdie texted the show.
Yeah.
And it says, can we talk about the white T-shirt as an undershirt was early 2000s? You can do better, guys.
I still do it. I don't give a damn.
I do it all the time.
I don't.
It is a kind of an older thing. It like the fashion. It's
so millennials evolved. Don't. Well, first of all, my fat ass sweats a lot.
Well, that's the thing. So you're supposed to be in shape. You're not. So that's why you have the.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Look, I got the, you know, I'm with you.
Don't look.
Same thing with Joel. He can't do. He has to wear an undershirt.
I always wear white.
He wears Spanx shirts though.
Yeah,
sucks it up, tightens it up. Right? Is that not
that way? It doesn't like.
You don't wear Spanx.
What do you
tucks in the love handles?
Like I just those rash guards.
I have sensitive skin.
Do you really?
I guess someone else is going to show you about sensitive skin there, Nick Sherrera. You're going to get a little, hey, humdinger, Sherrera. Right? Your chugy-loogies, if you know what I mean.
I don't understand what the problem with the T-shirt thing is. Like
I think it's on our age group thing, honestly. It's not too cheesy yet, but it's
2000s. Like, bro, I was wearing a T-shirt under my clothes before 2000. That's the whole point of the T-shirt.
Time out. Watch First Take and all these things where these guys are wearing 3 and 4 layers.
They're also
and
from
the
your
first
age
layer
group, sir.
Is a white T-shirt. Then it's a long sleeve button, 3 button. And then it's
this. Whoever texted this was like 17.
And they probably don't know how to dress anymore.
Or in their 20s.
Yeah.
They wear coveralls during the day. But
early
2000s.
Like, that's not that long ago, really. Is it? 20 years?
19? Look, it could be worse. It could be like Palillo. Because he's stuck in the 90s.
You are fired up about that.
You don't like the way Palillo dresses.
He totally acted like he didn't hear me say the offer. He was like, no, I didn't quite hear it. I'm like, man.
I don't listen.
He's such a nice guy, though. At least with me. So I've never
seen
him angry.
He's nice to everybody. It's like we said. He takes the high road. But look, whoever texted that about T-shirts, what is the big deal? Why do you care? What are you on Twitch being fashion police?
We're older.
I'm wearing a denim shirt, for Christ's sake. What do you want me to wear under this?
Can you say that?
Believe him.
Okay. Thank you, Nick just paused.
Nick, huh? What?
I'm going to break this damn dump button because of you.
Not
it was
me.
It was functional for years until this show.
I just don't. Why would you say it? Can you say that? Wouldn't you just make it worse?
Don't even get me started, because if I say something, even on the border...
If you say something, what do I do, Nick? If he says something inappropriate, what do? I point at you and go...
No, you don't. You look at me and you go, oh!
But you're also responsible for saying a lot of F-bombs and...
Who, me?
Yeah. S-bombs and...
Me?
Yeah.
What?
You're the leader in the clubhouse.
What?
Yeah.
I don't believe you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had the argument about him, whether or not he said the S-bomb or the F-bomb? And then we had to go back and listen... And man. I was like, God, I can't even tell now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on.
You say it first and then worry about the repercussions later.
Sometimes. Well, at least I didn't say it this week like Nicholas did after he just got through saying how.
I was really trying to say hilarious. The word folks.
Folks. Sure you were.
See, I can't
There's
even
no
say
you
it.
In folks.
I can't say it now because I'm so
scared. You're
scared
to do it again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can at least dump yourself.
That's true.
Yep.
I'll dump myself. I'm not dumping you guys.
I bet you will. Okay, so as we wrap up the first half of the show, Sigmund we always remind Bloom. You, on a Thursday, Sigmund Bloom joins us. That means fantasy football expertise is at your fingertips if you call the show. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. We take calls first, then we take texts and tweets based on how much time we have remaining. So if you have a pressing question, best bet is to start dialing now. 713-780-3776. He'll take the entire segment and get all your advice to you as quickly as possible. And of course, if you don't get it that way, you can always follow him at footballguys.com, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. And I don't know what your denim shirt is doing to the microphone, but I know it's probably time to go to break.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrera.
Back to the second half. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we get to the segment that everybody looks forward to each and every week during the football season. It is the Sigmund Bloom time of the show when the expert at fantasy football decides to bless us and you with his presence, and he gives you expert information so that you can try and come from the depths of the dead to maybe be relevant in the playoffs or win your division, or better yet, plan for the playoffs and get the matchups that you want. So without further ado, Sigmund, welcome to the show. As always, appreciate you spending some time with us.
Always, and even for the folks that are playing spoiler, look to the Sunday slate. Some of the teams that we hope show up, even though they don't have anything to play for, emulate those teams. And I can't believe it's been over 20 years since Hello Nasty. I'm old.
Hey, what news or tips or information do you have for the peeps out there?
Yeah, we're watching to see if Matthew Stafford's going to play. That's big, especially if you have Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones. We're watching for San Francisco if Emmanuel Sanders is going to play, if George Kittle's going to play. We know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have some success throwing the ball against Arizona. We're just not quite sure who's at the other end of those. As far as tonight's game goes, we are going to get James Conner back. Oh, and also on the other side of that San Francisco-Arizona game, we'll watch David Johnson to see maybe if Kenyon Drake can have another big game against San Francisco like he did 2 weeks ago.
Nick was thinking about picking up Dez Bryant, yes or no?
Yes, no. Well, I mean, if there's some sort of fantasy league that gives points for good Twitter takes, maybe.
Nice. Hey, if you guys want to get your questions answered by Sigmund Bloom, we go in order of phone calls and then Twitter, and or phone calls, then text line, then Twitter. So give us a call or text 713-780-3776. Hop on the board right now. There are some lines open, and he will answer your questions. I have a question for you, Sigmund, because I have quite the dilemma this week. I have both Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. In general, fantasy-wise, who do you think is the better fantasy play between the two?
I probably would go with Lamar, just because the Baltimore has such an excellent group of corners right now. So I think that Deshaun Watson is going to have to actually be conservative, which doesn't come naturally to him. Look, they're number two and number three in my rankings. You know, we're splitting hairs. But I also just think that Houston's defense isn't going to have an answer for Lamar Jackson's running ability. I just think that we're going to. It's more banking on the Texans' defense to not be able to handle Lamar Jackson, where the Baltimore's defense is coming on right now.
There you go. All right, let's get to these phone calls right now. We'll start at the top with Jose. Jose, you're up. Go ahead.
I wanted to see, should I start David Johnson this week?
I wouldn't. He looked like he was running in wet cement. And Cliff Kingsbury showed the willingness to bench him if he's not getting it done. So until I see David Johnson look something like he looked at the beginning of the year, I won't play him.
What a disappointing season too, right? I mean, you had high expectations for him going in, and it's pretty bad. All right, James, you are up next. Go ahead, James.
Robinson or Marvin Jones?
Say it again.
Repeat that, buddy.
Oh, well, I'll say this about Marvin Jones. It all comes down to whether Matthew Stafford plays, and I don't think he's going to. So Marvin Jones then becomes one of those plays that you hope for something against the Dallas defense. It's really playing pretty well right now.
All right, Alonzo, you are up next. Go ahead. You're on with Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com.
Yes, I have two questions, either Coleman or Gurley, and on wide receivers, Gallup or Robinson.
Okay, Coleman over Gurley easily. Arizona's run defense is one to target, and gone out of the garage lately for fantasy. I would probably go with Gallup over Robinson. Robinson, I'm assuming Allen Robinson is going to be facing Jalen Ramsey on Sunday night. That also means you're counting on Mitchell Trubisky. So think of it this way. Like, do you want to get Mitchell Trubisky in your lineup or Dak Prescott?
Seaman, two guys that have been questionable for weeks, and one just recently with the injury, Emmanuel Sanders and Amari Cooper.
Well, Cooper has shown that even if he's on the injury report, he's going to play at a high level. So until he's inactive, we're just going to keep playing him. Sanders went out with this rib issue that sounds minor, maybe a cartilage issue, but he was ruled out for the game pretty quickly, and he hasn't practiced yet. But we're going to be watching this because he could easily be a game-time decision. This is an afternoon game. He went off in that first matchup. So if Sanders is active, he's worth playing. So it might be in your interest to pick up somebody from a late game or a night game, you know, Taylor Gabriel or Kendrick Bourne, you know, somebody maybe like DeMarcus Robinson from Kansas City, so that you can have a hedge, because if Sanders does play, you'll want him to have him in your lineup.
Did you see enough from Kareem Hunt to have him in a lineup somewhere, maybe RB3 or flex or something? Where would you put
him? Especially in PPR leagues.
Okay.
You know, in non-PPR leagues, it's a little tougher, but in leagues where you can get that point per reception, they were using him even as a wide receiver at times. It's always tough to count on rational coaching from the Browns, but if they're rational, a way to slow down the Steelers' pass rush is passing more to running backs. So even having Hunt and Chubb on the field at the same time. So, yeah, I'd be excited about having Hunt in as a 10 to 12-point PPR play with a chance for a big play.
And then Josh Gordon, did you see enough from him in Seattle to realize that they're going to keep working him into the game plan?
Well, the Tyler Lockett situation went from dire and almost really scary to something where now they're saying he was able to take a plane home and he should be able to play after the bye this week. You know, that was really the key to unlocking the door for Josh Gordon to get more playing time. So Lockett's never been the most durable over the course of his career, but for now I wouldn't have Gordon as a priority pickup enough to hold him through his bye over players who can increase their value this weekend.
713-780-3776. That is the number. If you have questions for Sigmund Bloom, get on the phone right now. We'll get your questions to him, get you prepared for this week's action. Back to the phone line. Speaking of, Jared is up next. Jared, what's your question for Sigmund?
I got a pick two PPR league. Drake, Cohen, McKissick or Hunt?
Hunt should be one because he's playing well. The other ones, you know, we've got some ifs, okay? This allows me to mention that David Montgomery rolled his ankle in practice yesterday. So if he's out, Tariq Cohen becomes a lot more interesting. Also, Ty Johnson for the Lions returned from his concussion. He returned to practice today, so that makes McKissick less interesting. Also, that offense is less exciting without Matthew Stafford. So I would probably go ahead and go with Drake. In this case, you're just going with Drake and Hunt, who I think are the players who will touch the ball the most and have done the most recently.
All right, to the text line, Philip Lindsay or Austin Eckler?
Ooh. I'm probably going to go with Eckler here just because we could see the Kansas City Chargers game on Monday night in Mexico City become more of a high-scoring game. I like what Lindsay can do against a Minnesota defense that just gave up a 91-yard touchdown to Damian Williams. But, Denver's splitting the carries between him and Royce Freeman. They've got Brandon Allen in the quarterback. So I'll go ahead and put Lindsay on the bench here.
All right, flex position, standard league, Mike Williams or Cole Beasley?
I'll go with Mike Williams. I mean, Beasley is probably the better bet to score one touchdown, but Williams is the better bet to score three touchdowns, which is how many times he scored the last time these two teams played in a pretty memorable game in prime time last year.
All right, somebody's curious how you'd rank these, and then we're going to get back to the phone lines there. It's sure. A two-parter. First one was Kyler Murray, Matty Ice, or Allen? Kyle Allen.
That would be the order. And Kyler Murray did pretty well against San Francisco 2 weeks ago, and San Francisco is coming in tired, banged up after an epic game against Seattle.
And then the second part was, if Ty Johnson is active, McKissick or Geis?
I mean, McKissick, because he can do some things in the passing game. Washington has the bad luck of going against the Jets, who actually have a really good run defense. They held Saquon Barkley to, 1 yard last week?
Crazy.
So, Peterson and Geis get to split that yard this week.
All right, back to the phone lines we go. Brian, you're up next. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I got a PPR wide receiver pick two out of Scary Terry, Zach Pascal, Deontay Johnson, and Tyrell Williams.
This is one where you look at the opponents, right? The Jets have given up, I'm not kidding, 10 touchdowns to wide receivers in the last 3 weeks. 10. You want to get Terry McLaurin in. And then it's Cincinnati. Cincinnati is like rolling over and showing everyone their belly to scratch it right now. So you want Tyra Williams in.
All right, back to the phone lines. Shane, you are up next. What's your question for Sigmund Bloom?
Yeah, I got a standard PPR league. If I win this week, I'm in the playoffs. I need Matt Stafford or Kirk Cousins this week.
I don't think Stafford's going to play. He hasn't practiced yet this week. They're not in a position where they need to push him back out there. So I would go with Cousins against Denver.
There you go. Back to the text line. Ertz or Walker?
I think Tennessee's off if we're talking about Delanie Walker. So that makes it easy with Ertz. And Ertz is going to see a lot of Stephon Gilmore probably, Philly against New England. But I'd still leave Ertz in the lineup against all. But, you know, if you have someone like Travis Kelce, Hunter Henry, you know, there's a handful of tight ends. Mark Andrews. These are the guys I would play over Zach Ertz. Not many.
All right. Mecole Hardman or Chris Conley?
Hardman, just because he only needs one touch to make your fantasy week. Conley's interesting because Nick Foles actually recruited him to join the Jags. They have an easier schedule over the next 5 weeks after this game against Indy, so Conley could be someone to watch, but Hardman this week.
All right, I got three more texts, and then we're going to wrap it up, Sigmund. So Carlos Hyde, Sonny Michel, or Drake, PPR league?
Drake. You know, Michelle's ice cold. I just don't know against Baltimore that Houston's going to get that running game on track. I think it's going to be more on Sean Watson.
All right, standard league, pick two, Coleman, Hunt, Mixon.
Coleman and Mixon, because for some reason the Bengals gave him 30 carries when they lost 49-13. So no matter what happens, they'll give him a lot of work against Oakland.
And last one, standard league, Hunt or Damian Williams?
Damian Williams, I still expect him to get most of the work on Monday night, although I'm open to that changing as they go into their bye in week 12.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Sigmund, we appreciate it every week. Tell the folks how they can get in touch with you and what are the services that they can get from footballguys.com to help them if they didn't get their questions answered.
I'm at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. I try to be as responsive as I can. I also do a message board thread at footballguys.com and a shark poll every week where I answer questions on Sunday morning. And of course, if you subscribe, you get my rankings, a lot of things that I write, and our whole staff really, you know, we'll give you edges for DFS, IDP, Dynasty, anything you can imagine, really. We're still obsessing about fantasy football, so if it's week 11 and some of your less hardcore friends and coworkers have fallen out, but you're still keeping your eye on the ball, then you're with us.
Yeah, and get that Lineup Dominator app, too, because I love that thing. I'm sitting there at 11:30 Sunday morning trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my flex position. It's amazing, so go download that as well. Sigmund, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com.
There you go. Best in the business. We're going to continue to roll on with the big show. So we've got plenty more time on the clock for you to get in here. We've got a little bit over an hour. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can text that number now. You can call that number, or you can hit us on Twitter. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. You keep it tuned right here. We'll be back with a whole lot more on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects to wrap up hour number 2, 3-hour show right here on ESPN 97.5. Reminder, tomorrow we're going to be down in B-Town. We're going to be in Beaumont, making our monthly excursion down that way, and would love to see you guys, the suspects, come out and hang with us. 1 to 4 with us, 4 to 7 with the Blitz. We're going to be at Reds. And as a side note that we've been telling you about, besides the outstanding Miller Lite, Coors Light, Miller and Coors specials, all the food specials they're going to have, and us being there with plenty of giveaways and T-shirts and all kinds of neat stuff with all the suspects that normally come out. Lauren Pope and her husband Aaron are also involved with someone that's doing a clothing drive for the homeless. And so coats and hats, gloves, anything really, they won't turn down as they're doing a clothing drive to help some people out when it's cold outside. So if you're going to come down and see us, if you can take a few minutes to go into your closet, see some things you're not using anymore and bring them along, we would appreciate it.
Yes, please.
And then on top of that, a special shout out just because I've been meaning to do this for 2 days, but the broadcast community in Houston lost someone very special. Nick was at the game last night to know that the Rockets actually honored him pregame. But a guy by the name of Don Dart Laraway, which may not ring a bell, but he played for the old Houston Aeros. He was a hell of a hockey player. He was the guy that assisted on Wayne Gretzky's first goal ever in the NHL. But more importantly than that, he was a cameraman that did Astros and Rockets and Dynamo and was known through pretty much anybody in broadcasting. He suddenly passed away last week. They're going to honor him tonight at Keneally's. If you have some time, stop by. Everybody that knew him is going to try and be there. But rest in peace, Don. Dart was a great dude.
Yeah. I didn't really know him that well, but my bad, Barry. I didn't really know him that well, but I was talking to one of the Toyota Center officials, and actually had 2 or 3 people, and his reputation could not be better. Yep. Everybody loved him. Everybody seemed to have liked him, and I had no idea the entire time he was the one, like, mastering or operating the camera that was to the right of me. Every time I sit at that in my seat, he was actually operating the camera to the right of me. So from everything I've gathered from people at Toyota Center, they said he's a really good dude.
Was a great dude. And when you and I went to the playoff game, I said that I had run into him. He was doing the camera right to the left of us, and it was always great to catch up with him. Always had a smile on his face, always like happy-go-lucky, looking for a conversation. So he's going to be missed.
Yeah, they mentioned his they mentioned him on the broadcast last night and talked about his hockey and all that, and he coached basketball apparently. I think he did Bulls camp.
He and Matt Bullard were very tight as well as our good friend Tony Nylam, my boy that's the equipment manager for the Rockets, and after games he would go and have a beer or two with Tony while Tony was doing the laundry and stuff. So pretty much anybody that knew Dart knew what kind of guy he was, and all reviews were good. So
yeah,
Again, if you're going to be out and about, you want to honor Dart's life, they're going to be at Keneally's tonight. So there you go. Okay, so Rockets game itself, a lot to uncover here because of the fact that, look, a lot of people off the top are saying, you know, Harden, big night, Rockets beat the Clippers. This is the kind of signature win they needed to start the season. Before I even bring any of my comments to the table, your guys' thoughts, Nick, you were there, Barry, you watched.
Why can't you go first? You can go first. It's okay.
I mean, here's the first thing. I've warned people forever about Tony Brothers. And the entire first half, all I got was my timeline filled with Tony Brothers sucks comments.
Yeah.
You got to kind of get over that and realize, look, when you see him coming to town, you just got to be better than that. You got to play well enough and blast the team to a certain degree so that you don't have to deal with a call here or there that you could be Tony Brothered. But the first half was ugly with the way they played, especially without Paul George there and the fact that Doc was constantly on the Clippers for really playing lackadaisically. But I thought that Harden stepping up in the fourth quarter was big for them. I do like the chemistry between Westbrook and Harden. One thing I never saw last year with Chris Paul was the kind of cheerleading and celebrating and helping him up when he falls down kind of stuff with Harden and Westbrook. I like that.
Yeah.
Good win for them. It would be more impressive to me if Paul George had played. I understand Gordon out for the Rockets. But again, I'm going with Nick's initial comments, and I'm right there. I'm buying into what he's selling. 20 games in is when I'm going to really pass judgment on the team overall.
Well, this was the first game that I watched almost all of. I joined it a little late. In fact, I thought it started at 7. So for some reason, when I tuned in at 7, there was 8 minutes left in the first quarter.
ESPN, they started early last night.
Yeah, so I missed that. But I did watch the rest of the game, and I tell you what, from the quarters of basketball that I had watched before until now, it seemed to be a lot different. It's similar to kind of how last year happened for me, where I started watching and I was like, this team doesn't look like there's any chemistry. I don't know half of these dudes. What is going on? This is not a good brand of basketball. Last night I could say, okay, this is a team that I could watch the rest of the year play, even without Eric Gordon. They did play some good defense. They were, you know, I thought the offense looked pretty good. So this was more reassuring than what I had seen previously going into this game from them, which wasn't a ton, I admit.
I thought it was a great game, especially at the end and with the drama surrounding Pat Beverly and all. I thought it was a really, really good game. There's a bunch of takeaways. I think Clint Capella, if he could have that type of game in the first half against every single team, that would be amazing. Despite the fact that the Clippers are considered one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, they don't necessarily have someone that can stop from a post-defense presence and really stop Clint Capella. So that might have been the reason why he got his way. Unfortunately for Clint Capella, he suffered a concussion. He's going to be out for Friday's game. He's doubtful for Saturday's game. But Clint, if you can get Clint Capella to get going like that or do that against better post-defenders, man, I think that means the world. I think that would be amazing. I still think Russell Westbrook is a little bit uncomfortable. A little bit.
But, I agree with that.
But James Harden is showing that he's an offensive, just absolute offensive genius, in my opinion. I know we always have our questions about defense, but, dude, offensively, it's just.
Do you think, though, that the reason why, because I agree with you that Westbrook looks uncomfortable, it's because he's had to make the adjustment. James hasn't changed his game one bit. James is still doing James's game the way James did last year and the year before, and it doesn't look like he's made any sacrifices at all. Westbrook looks like the guy that's trying to fit in, that's trying to adjust his game and adapt his game to fit into his new team, in my opinion.
One of the things that I find curious, which I thought would have been a little bit more prevalent while on the floor, but I would have figured that Westbrook would have – I didn't see many pick and rolls last night with Westbrook and Capella or Harden Capella. That maybe I missed it. You
they
guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't seem as prevalent as it has in this offense in the past. And I would have thought that the way this would work when those three were on the floor together is that Westbrook would take the point, run the pick and roll with Capella, and then you have the option to kick it back out to James Harden to spot up for a three. Westbrook took several threes down the stretch and started knocking them down finally because he was 2 for 7 for the night. But I was very surprised in the way that the flow of the offense worked when both of them were on the floor. It didn't go how I anticipated. Doesn't mean it wasn't effective, but I think that goes to the point of Westbrook's got to find out where he fits in. I think he's got to be the facilitator on the offense when both of them are on the floor. Because the last thing you want is Russell Westbrook being the spot-up shooter.
Hey, if that works, I'm not mad. I agree. I'm with you. Because what one thing that can't happen, and this happened yesterday, was having James Harden score 14 points in the first quarter and then pretty much go scoreless for almost the entire second quarter until he hit 2 3-pointers at the end. Russell Westbrook wasn't playing well in that during that time.
Well, he had the fouls.
First time in his career, 4 fouls in the first quarter.
Correct. So now you have a situation where you have foul trouble with Russell Westbrook and your best player is not scoring anything, despite the fact that he scored 14 points. That might be dangerous against other teams. And remember, Paul George wasn't playing. Mm-hmm. And remember the fact that there's not, in my opinion, not a solid post-defense presence on this team, despite them being one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. So I think that I think that's going to hurt them against better teams. But if, like you mentioned, if choosing that way, which to approach facilitating the ball and facilitating plays works, then maybe they don't have that problem.
I thought PJ Tucker played really well last night, especially defensively on Kawhi. He got jobbed on some calls. He really did get robbed. Like the one where Kawhi just put his shoulder in his chest. They called that a defensive foul. And I'm
Beverly
like,
got robbed too. I mean, a lot of them.
That's not a foul. But I'm saying
Westbrook got screwed on the fourth foul.
It was just a poorly officiated game.
And that's Tony Brothers.
Yeah, and then you're teeing guys up for complaining when they were right. You know, like the Westbrook when he got teed up, he obviously got fouled on the hand
but,
going
but
up
here's
for that
the deal.
Dunk.
Here's the reason why, and I don't mean to cut you. The reason why I have a problem with it is because the first 2 or 3 fouls of Russell Westbrook was really emotional. It's him being angry and making a dumb decision. If he didn't make those dumb decisions and not commit those fouls, maybe one unfair or messed up call by Tony Brothers doesn't hurt you as much. But the first 2 or 3 fouls he had was all on him. It was all him being angry. And dare I say that Westbrook is more emotional than James Harden?
I tweeted it last night, Nick, because you're right. Because I said the same thing about Harden, too. Instead, it goes to what you've said, Barry, all along about Harden. He got back into it last night where if he didn't get a call, he spent the entire next possession of the Clippers in the backcourt berating the officials. One, it's not going to do you any good and you're going to be shorthanded on defense. Two, you're going to piss off the officials to where the next time if there's a 50-50 call, do I call it or not, or do I call it on this guy or Harden? I'm calling it on Harden and I'm calling it every time because you're annoying me. And that's a fact. That's the way they referee the game.
Yeah, you've got to be careful about how much you complain and when. And I thought when Russell got teed up, he had a legitimate beef because he did get hit on the hand.
And, he did.
But look, there's like you said, Nick, it happens a lot in basketball. They're going to miss calls. They're going to, you know, calls are going to go against you sometimes. Just last night, there were some egregious ones on both sides. And I'm not making excuses for the Rockets or the Clippers. It was just a poorly officiated game. And I thought, you know, of all the stuff, everything else that was going on with guys missing and trying to figure out your chemistry, you don't need a guy stupidly getting those fouls early, like you said, being emotional.
Right. And here's what you said, okay? I tweeted out during the game because I couldn't agree more with you that they missed the call. But then with the fact that he got the technical too,
yeah.
The league during the game, almost as soon as it happened, put out the NBA referee official statement on it and said the lead official has a closed look, which means he couldn't see the play on the drive by Westbrook. The trail or slot official should have called the foul. Still, a missed call is not justification for violating the respect for the game standards rules. Therefore, a technical foul is warranted. It's a catch-22, right? Because if he gets the call, he's not bitching.
Yeah. And if you call it right.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So. My favorite, though, and we got to talk more about this, but there was other stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. From Pat Beverly to the Family Feud, yeah. We've got lots more to get to.
So good.
60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, it's the final hour of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.